Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This is a timestamp for the recording. This is Monday, November 18, 1700 local time in Buenos Aires. The room is Retiro B, and this is the meeting of Joint CC-NSO-GNSO Council Meeting from 1700 to 1800 local time.
Hi, everyone. Have we got a recording, Natalie? Are we ready to go with the recording? Yep, thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome to our new format, joint CCNSO-GNSO Council meeting. We've tried to do things a little differently based on discussion and feedback from previous meetings. So actually, I guess, whether or not we do any kind of formal survey, it'd be very good to get feedback on, you know, whether this works better for all of us. Welcome to all of you, and welcome to Byron, with whom I'll be working on this one for the first time. Byron, is there anything you'd like to say, or shall we just kick straight off onto the agenda for now?
Maybe I'll just take a moment to say it's great to be here in my first joint meeting as chair of the CCNSO, so thank you very much. I'm looking forward to having a slightly different structure to this meeting, and I think it's safe to say that what we'd really like to achieve is more conversation and interaction versus a series of statements or monologues. And I think if we can try to find some way to get that conversation going, which in part is why we changed the structure, that will be, I think, a very significant success for the new format.
Great, thanks. So we have our measure of success that we can create some decent dialogue. So we've prepared an agenda, and that's what you see up on the screen in front of you now. We've got around 45 minutes where we go through the joint meeting, and we look at a series of areas where we can have these discussions. And thereafter, we're going to have the opportunity to just spend some time together and have some drinks, mingle, and have an opportunity to talk more informally. So I think we've shifted the agenda slightly, and we're going to go straight in as a first topic to talk about the SOP letter introduced by Rulof, who I know has to get off to another meeting. So why don't we just go straight on with that, Rulof? If you're happy to introduce the topic as well and talk to it, that would be great.
Speak. Okay. Thank you very much. With all these overwhelming changes for the better, it's probably also good to have a stable topic on our agenda. Over the last few years, I've been here repeatedly reporting about the work that the SOP has been doing, especially informing you about the comments that we had provided to ICANN on either the draft operational plan or on a draft strategic plan. A couple of weeks ago, we sent a letter to ICANN to express our concern and even to express our frustration about the absence of a truly structured and responsive process for dealing, a planning process for dealing with operational plans and strategic plans. I'm sure that quite a few of you have seen that letter. Our concern and frustration was based on the fact that deadlines were not adhered to, the process has been changing over the years, and lately we saw that we were just repeating the same comments over and over again without most of them being implemented, but also without getting any meaningful response to those comments. So we even thought about abandoning the whole working group, but somehow the council managed to convince me that that was not the best way to approach this this matter. So we sent that letter. It was on the 1st of November, and we got a reply from ICANN's CEO yesterday, which is quite a promising reply, to be honest. ICANN said that over the last 15 years, and I think that's the amount of years that they have for their anniversary, they had been planning for not so much for results, but more for commitment. But they were now engaging in the development of a truly responsive and stable planning process. However, this process will only be ready somewhere in the course of next year. It will start with a multi-year, five-year strategic plan. And when that is finalized, from there, the annual operational plans and budgets will be derived. So there will be, as we've been recommending over the years, there will be a link, clear link now between an operational plan and the overall strategy. there will be a relation between the annual objectives and the five-year strategic objectives. But it will still take some time because we've already been informed that the 2015 plan will, the draft will be there too early to take this new strategy into account. So the first plan that we will get and the first budget that we will get that is really a product of this new process will be the 2016 one. Although this all looks pretty good, notwithstanding the delay in getting the true results, there are two things that we will still seek to get from the board in the joint meeting that we will have tomorrow. First is their commitment that this now will really produce results, because over the years we've been receiving quite some promises about improvements of the process and inclusion of metrics and promises of proper responses to our comments. So we just want to make sure that this time these are really going to be received by us. And in line with that, we're going to seek confirmation that for the ICANN board and ICANN CEO, getting this process into place and working and getting it truly responsive is a strategic priority, and that it is not going to be overwhelmed by priorities in the GTLD sphere or in the internet governance sphere, because it seems that both the board and the CEO are pretty much busy with those two subjects. That's what I have to tell you on this subject. I don't know if there are any questions.
Wolf Ulrich.
Yeah, thank you, Wolf Ulrich speaking. I would like to congratulate you all for what you have done in sending out that letter after 3 years. So, because it needs to achieve a level of impatience where it comes shortly before explosion or so, to send out such a thing. When I have read this letter, I was a little bit surprised at first and was thinking, oh God, what could be the reaction? Yeah? Normally, so you expect a reaction of many excuses and these things and blah, 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 or so, as it used in the past. But really, it is successful because it was the right thing to do. And the answer shows you what's going on. And from the opening session this morning, I got also the message. So at the end, Fadi referred to his non-achievements. And there was a point about this as well with regards to metrics as well as the planning process as well. So I think it's a good start. And you should remind him in future, because he did it publicly. And that's a very good point, well, to remind him in the future that he did it publicly in the opening session, to refer to that and to refer to improvements he has in mind. So, congratulations.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Just a reminder to everyone to state your name and before you speak. It'd be great. I guess I have a question. Is how do you envisage this work, if at all? I know you said that you even considered abandoning the course altogether. What do you think is likely to happen for the work of this group going forward? I mean, where do you, now you've had this response, I mean, are you going to seek a meeting? Or, I mean, where do you, what are your thoughts on where that group's going to go next?
Okay, first I'll properly introduce myself. My name is Rolf Meijer. I'm the CEO of SIDN, the registry for the Netherlands CCTLD. And I'm also chair of the CCNSO's Strategic and Operational Planning Working Group. In response to your question, on the short term, two things. We will offer ICANN our support in developing this truly responsive process. We have also received a confirmation from ICANN's chief financial officer that improvements will start immediately, that in the future, if we file comments, we will get a response in the sense of, okay, thank you very much, we understand, we will implement it, or thank you very much, we are not able to do anything with this comment because, and it can be lack of time, or because we don't agree, or something else, but at least we will get a proper response. In the longer term, and that's from 2016 onwards, I would say that there will be less need to really go through every year's operational plan, because there will be a more direct link with the strategy. And if all is well, it will have clear goals for every year with metrics, and we will not so much have to involve ourselves in the start, but we will just follow and participate and in the end see the results every year and see I can progress on its strategic goals. So maybe one day we can even say our work is done and we will end this working group, because I seem to have inherited a working group. I think Byron did well, because he took the financial working group, which is almost done, and he gave me this one, and I think it will just go on for years. I didn't see that coming then.
Well, thank you. I mean, I know there have been various of us who have long since admired the diligence with which you've tackled both the strategic and the financial work. Are there any other questions or comments for Roelof, given that his requirement to leave relatively soon? Any thoughts, comments, or questions on this area?
Maria?
Hi, it's Maria Farrell, NCSG Councillor on the GNSO Council. Roelof, just to say to you that there are a few of us from the Council as well, from the NCSG, from the CSG, and I'm sure from the contracted parties, who've also been on the mailing lists and going to meetings and trying to keep track of the strategic and operational plan, and particularly the financial planning. And I can't claim any credit because I've not been doing so much in the second half of this year, but we've also been keeping a very close eye, and it's been, you know, over many years, I don't want to be unkind, but also every time we go and talk to the CFO, it's always been, we've got a new reporting system, you know, we've got new metrics, it'll all be wonderful, just give us 6 months or 18 months or so and it'll bed in. And it's a process that's been iterative over time, let's put it that way. But it's we share a lot of your interesting concerns in it, and you know, if it does end up going needing more monitoring over the next year or two, maybe that's something we could collaborate on a bit more. So.
Yeah, let's do that. And I'm hopeful. People sometimes tell me that I'm optimistic on the verge of being naive, but I think it's a good position to take now.
Great, thanks, Roelof. I think we're in a position to let you go when and if you're ready to. And that puts us in a position to go on to the next topic that we had for the meeting. We had the SOP letter second, so perhaps we can go up to a status update on the JIG and the DSSA. Now, I think we may have Edmund here to give us that update. Is that correct? Yeah.
And also is Young anywhere. Oh, there you are. Thank you.
Hi, Edmund here, and Young co-chair. Actually, the JIG actually just had a working group meeting earlier today. I guess in general, when we first started, we identified three issues of common interest on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, on IDN variant TLDs, and on single character IDN TLDs. For the issue, we've just completed the final report on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. We also completed the work. I think we probably feel we completed the work on single character IDN TLDs. That report was finalized. There was a cautionary note from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. The board decided to delay the implementation until the next round of new GTLDs. But that's that. And on the IDN variant TLD issue, the staff team has been working through the process, and therefore the group has been more of observing and providing inputs to that rather than actively producing any kind of report. So that's, in general, the work that has been done so far. I don't know whether Young-un wants to add.
I guess we should now think about what to do after, now that we have discussed the three issues.
Right. So one of the things that at the end of the meeting here just now, and actually has been one of the things that we are starting to consider is what are the next steps. Certainly myself and some others in the group feel that there are a few loose ends, especially on following up on some of the recommendations for universal acceptance of IDNTLDs. That is increasingly becoming an issue, especially increasingly a common issue between the CC, especially IDN CCTLDs and the IDN GTLDs. There is the ongoing deployment of IDN variant TLDs. There probably needs to have some consistency across that implementation on GTLDs and CCT, IDN GTLDs and IDN CCTLDs. The question we are posing, or for ourselves, is whether this is the right group to take it forward. Is there a need to relook at the charter? Whether the working process is the right thing to sort of follow up on these issues. Youngham and I had a brief chat about that. We certainly haven't brought it to the group for a broader discussion on the next steps forward yet. But I guess we'd like to bring it up. There are a few things that I think it's important to highlight. I would admit there is a dropping rate of participation. There's less participation over the last little while. I guess we're sort of winding up some of the reports that we've done. So that plays into it as well. The other one is whether reporting back, sort of what it's chartered for, whether creating these reports or positions is really the right thing to do going forward. Maybe we might want to do more on those issues that we're touching on, especially universal acceptance and IDN variants, perhaps a more public engagement type of work might be more useful than creating reports or position papers. So that's sort of what we're considering. And at this point, I don't think the working group is looking to have a consensus going back to the two councils for rechartering or whatever yet, but I think we want to bring this up. This is sort of the background, whether the two councils might have any thoughts on how these issues could be or should be taken forward.
Just to add to the status of the group, it seems that one of the reasons why the participation of the people have been dropping is because there are certain issues that are of interest to some people and not to others, like the variant issue. But an issue such as the universal acceptance is something that the whole of ICANN community should be interested in and should have a firm support on. We are not seeing that that support or support to that extent. In order for IDNs to be implemented in a successful way, we really need to get this universal acceptance issue going. And so we don't know, and the group hasn't discussed whether the current group should go on and do it, but I think there is general consensus that we should pursue these issues as they are, according to the issues, not as a general working group. So,
maybe I could just ask and play back what I've heard a little bit. It certainly seems like the JIG has done considerable heavy lifting over time, but there's definitely work group fatigue, and the issues are getting narrower and more specific and an evolution on what was perhaps initially thought about. Just as a question, does it make sense to have some end date in mind, recognizing that there may be a V2 or some other reconstituted, renewed, refreshed, reinvigorated work group that's focusing on related but different or more specific questions?
Well, the current work group as is, I don't think would be able to go any further with this. We have, I think Edmund has done a great job given the conditions to come up with three very important issues that we need to be discussing and try to have some kind of a closure on. But we still are not there yet. And so the work needs to continue, but there definitely needs to be some kind of a change to this group.
So, Edmund here. Yes. So, I guess the short answer to your question is, as Yonam said, is yes. I think we should look at, wrapping this up. And I think the other thing is, it's not really so much getting narrower the issues. It's probably the issues need broader community participation in the whole, to allow it to move forward. And so the group itself cannot or is not currently chartered to do that. So I guess the thing that Yongam and I talked about, and I think what might make sense is to go back to the group and to sort of confirm that, and also perhaps suggest a way forward, because we do see that there are some issues that are of importance and are actually very much a common interest between the CCs and Gs.
So in a sense, it's Jonathan speaking. Edmund, what I hear from you is, just to make it clear as well, just following on from what Byron said, I mean, when you talk about that, I mean, that in essence involves some kind of drawing a line under the past work, and I'm going to think of it almost like, in order to reinvigorate the work and perhaps engage more participation, it's almost like a kind of relaunch of a new set of issues, or reframing them, or how do you envisage sort of closing off this work and in a sense?
I'm speaking out loud here, and we're just sort of digesting the working group meeting just that happened just earlier. I think at least in my mind right now, I think we need to think through this a little bit better. But what might work better is if the group is geared more towards engagement of the whole community rather than only the CC and CCNSO and GNSO. It is a issue that we care most about because it's about our TLDs, right? It's about our TLDs being able to go through the programs and applications. But the group itself can generate many reports, but really we need to have sort of a way to engage the whole community and say, hey, this is an issue of importance for ICANN community as a whole. How that could happen and what format we could start it is a question. And yes, we need some way to reinvigorate it. And probably not a new set of issues. It's just that we might want to focus on a couple of issues, which is on acceptance and on user experience angle. And that's most important for IDNs and IDN variants. So I think that wrapping it around that might be more fruitful going forward.
So distilling some of those comments, does it make sense to have some sort of end timeline for the work of this working group? And I'm just thinking out loud here. For the work of this working group and recognizing the point you made, which I take, I didn't necessarily mean narrowing it. I meant being more specific about the issues that have flowed from this work and reconstituting the group in some way that broadens the appeal because of the specific issues that you think need further discussion. But in getting to that place, there has to be some conclusion to this place.
Well, basically, we feel that we've the GNSO and the CCNSO Council has just received the final report on universal acceptance of IDNs, and so that could be considered. I mean, we've had a long comment period, and we've just discussed it among ourselves, and so I think that could be considered the final report on the three important issues that we have identified.
I guess adding to that, and respond, since it's probably a good thing to think about the next ICANN meeting, you know, Singapore as being a natural stop or target natural start of a new thing. So I'm speaking loud here again. I haven't asked Yongam about this, but perhaps that might be a good target so that we, first of all, the final report on the universal acceptance is with the two councils right now. I guess we'll wait for you to adopt it or need to come back and say, hey, you need to polish up some work. If that's the case, then I don't think we want to. So we need to go through that particular part first, and then we should probably the group should have a target to either come up with some suggestions back to the two councils of reinvigorating the process, and that timeline probably should be by Singapore. Does that make sense?
Yeah. John.
This is John Berard with the GNSO Council. I'm intrigued by your comment, Edmund, that we perhaps should be looking for resources in addition to the CCNSO and the GNSO. Is that what you said? Where would you look first? Who should be the third group in there?
Good question. You're putting me on the spot a bit. A few things come to mind. I mean, GAC is a pretty good place to start. ALAC is a good place to start. Technology, the technology group, but not so much, perhaps not so much the security stability as ESSEC. I'm thinking about the ICANN realm, of course, but these are issues that need to reach, I think, the broader technical community, and it also needs to reach the broader internet user community. The issue of acceptance of IDN TLDs and also the issue of IDN variants are issues that really need more attention from more people. So I haven't really thought about it. I just think that we seem to have a vested interest in this, but that's why I think we need to engage further.
Are there any other comments or questions?
My name's Don Hollander from APTLD. And Edmund, as I read the report, the sense I have is it's not the ICANN community that you need to convince anymore. It's the software development community. Is that a fair reading?
Except for recommendation A, right, which is the most important recommendation, which is that within ICANN community, at least we get our act together, because right now, not all registries and registrars or systems from our industry and community is accepting IDN TLDs. But that aside, yes.
Okay. So it could be that ICANN could use its the executive team with ICANN. I don't know how all this works because I'm sort of new in this space. But you want to engage with the software developers, so the Microsofts, the Googles, the Facebooks, the LMNOPs, the QRSs, and the TUVs, and get them to see that here's an opportunity for them. So it's really how do you do that? Would that help?
Certainly, that's certainly a very important group. But that's part of a recommendation. But how to do it is. One of the things that Youngham and I was talking about is even how to do that, we might want to start from our community and how to reach out, because the ALSs are not involved in this at this point, but maybe they are, you know, the right guys on the ground to do that. But right now, we were not chartered to think about those things, because those are sort of a follow-up on the recommendations.
Right, and plus recommendation B also asks ICANN to be more centrally involved and more committed to pushing this idea of universal acceptance.
Okay, so the final report is going to the councils this week. From what I hear, and also being a little bit respectful of time for the rest of our meeting, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that that's a good opportunity, assuming that, not prejudging what happens at the councils, but that demarks an endpoint for this current iteration, and then I think we'd certainly welcome recommendations for what a potential next stage looks like. Is that what you heard? Thank you very much.
All right, so we'll draw a line under that part of the agenda then. So that deals with the first two items, the first two bullets. The next is the community working group principles. The DSSA, I'm sorry. So who have we got to speak to the DSSA?
Mikey's, yes.
Give me a sense of how much time you want to take on this.
Mikey, we're at 17:40. We were supposed to be having drinks around 6, so, and we got a couple of items in between.
I have very clear instructions. Let me move very quickly. My name's Mikey O'Connor. I'm the GNSO co-chair of the DSSA working group, and the five of us, the co-chairs, sent both of you a copy of a letter that covers our final report. And I don't know if the letter's been distributed onto the councils and whether you want me to run through the highlights of that or not. The situation for the DSSA is similar in a way to the JIG. The DSSA broke its work into two phases. Those of you on the GNSO may remember that I came in front of the council several years ago and said, would you like us to go fast or go deep? And the council said, yes, please. And so what we did is we did the go fast part, which was phase one, which is the report that is covered right now. And we were preparing to go deep when the board launched a similarly scoped and confusingly overlapping initiative to develop a risk management framework for ICANN. The DSSA concluded that we needed to wait until they were done, and then their schedule slipped enough that essentially the volunteer base of the DSSA evaporated. You know, most of the people, it was a pretty large working group, it was a great working group, produced a wonderful set of documents, but 18 months is a hard time to hold a group like that together. And so the chairs reflected on this and concluded that this is a good time to stop. We've got a very good piece of work there. It may be very, especially in the CC community, it may be very useful especially some of the smaller CCs that don't have as large a security staff. So there's a good corpus of work that's been produced. We, as the co-chairs, do offer you, the councils, the choice to draw a line at that point or ask us to continue on, but we're very cautious about that and pretty strongly encourage you not to pursue that course. But just to put a fine point on it, if we restate our charter in the letter, and if you're a purist, we have not completed our charter. It's just that it's a very large charter. We've lost our core volunteer group, so we would in a way be in a very similar spot as the JIG in that we'd essentially have to relaunch it. We'd at least have to re-recruit the core body of volunteers. So that's a it's about as good as I can do. You know me. But I'm happy to offer an opportunity for the councils to talk back and forth about this, because it would be nice to have sort of shared understanding on that. I think it would make it easier for our respective chairs if we flushed out a big difference between the two councils. It'd be useful to know that.
Thanks, Mikey. That was very succinct and clear as far as I'm concerned. I mean, so I know this isn't on our agenda for this meeting. I suspect it'll be on our agenda for our December meeting. Are there any comments or questions or additional direction for Mikey and the DSSA? Yep. David?
I just wanted to say, so I mean, I was on the SSR review team, which is we recommended the board create the risk management framework. So feel sort of slightly responsible, but this was absolutely not what was intended. That the DSSA had a very focused, had a well focused charter, and the work it was doing was really valuable. And I think if it had continued on to go deep, as you said, that would have continued to be really valuable work. That it would have been of value to. I mean, I think especially the CC NSO community. And I regret that it didn't happen. Do you think maybe not just, you know, would it be useful to think about some way to carry on with that process that may not just be, restarting the group, but maybe doing a follow-up initiative or something? I understand that many of your volunteers have drifted off into other things, but would it be worth doing, a DSSA 2 or something? Do you think there would be value in, carrying on with the work in some way?
Thanks, David. This is Mikey again. Several thoughts. One is that the final report that we're preparing or have prepared has pretty extensive and detailed suggestions about what to do next. And so this would be a relatively easy piece of work to recharter and relaunch. This is more a matter of will than it is of clarity. We basically ran out of steam because we lost 18 months. And there's a lot of crystal clear 2020 hindsight that I won't share with you, but we just ran into a scope collision. And I think that now what probably needs to happen is the dust needs to settle from the board's work, which is incomplete at this stage. The first round of that report is very broad and very general, and it needs to be essentially taken at least one more level. If we were to press a button and restart the DSSA today, we would run severe risk of colliding with the methodology that the board came up with, which collided with the methodology that we'd already identified. And there's a long debate about those issues, which is way too long, especially since I'm standing between this group and a glass of wine. But if these councils, we were chartered by five ACs and SOs, the NRO, the ISAC, the ALAC, and us. And there was very strong will behind us. I think that there is still strong will on the part of some of the people in the group. But at the same time, practically speaking, this is just the wrong time to go deep, because if we go deep now, we will use our methodology, which is based on one sort of open source methodology, and the Board Risk Management Framework Committee came up with an ISO proprietary methodology, which can be aligned, but now we are still not actually doing an assessment. We're building more methodology. So it's an awkward time to start right now.
Thanks, David, for digging into that a little bit more. It's useful to properly understand, but I think we should take you on your recommendation at least That's my sense at this stage, pending it coming before the council. So thanks, Mikey.
One last point. The group that did this work was extraordinary. It was 50 people. And unlike most of the working groups where you start with 50 and you wind up with 5, this one we started with 50 and we wound up with 35 or 40. And they did an amazing job. And I cannot stress strongly enough that especially if you're a smaller CCTLD that don't have really deep security resources, this is a very valuable piece of work, not just the report, but also we built spreadsheets that you can use to do risk assessment. That's very solid work. And so we, the co-chairs, really emphasized in this letter and want to put on the record here our deepest thanks, not only to the volunteers, but also to the staff. We had astounding staff support, Bart and Julie Hedlund and all the others. It was a wonderful group, and they did a fabulous job.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that, and it's perhaps paves the way for other similar work in the future as well. We are pretty tight on time. I mean, we've really got, I guess, one other item which is broken into two parts on this agenda, and that's a summarizing of the state of play of the CWG principles and thinking where we go next with community working groups. I'm conscious we all drip out acronyms very easily, and then we've got a couple of projects that could benefit from joint expertise to talk about. I think we'll probably end up taking those. I don't know how we can handle this in the short time that's available. I know we've got 10 minutes. Maybe we could just very briefly touch on the CWG principles and the next steps, and if we can work our way through these relatively quickly, we might be able to just touch on a brief word on each of the three items.
And Becky is going to get us started on the CWG principles, and then Paul Schindler is going to speak a little more specifically on the country and territory names.
So I'm Becky Burr from .us. We have looked at the framework that was put together and are in fundamental agreement with all of the important principles. I mean, we don't, obviously, any kind of informal group should respect the bylaw principles and should not, you know, don't want to have a situation where informal structures morph into policy mandates or where working groups are going directly to the board or staff rather than back to their chartering organizations. I mean, so all of those fundamental principles, I think, were quite clearly in support of and don't think that any of these informal processes should be used to route around PDPs. I think the one place where the CCs would take a slightly more relaxed approach is on the how elaborate and documented the processes are. We use these working groups all the time. They're always a little bit different, and the working groups generally establish their own internal working rules. Depends on how long the process is, how many people are involved, what the times of the calls. And so as long as they're transparent, we've generally allowed the working groups to set up their working rules. And I think that's, so long as it's clearly a working group that's making, recommendations that then go back to all of the participating organizations and then are the subject of policy development. We can tell you from our experience that it would be very difficult to get the GAC participants to participate as representatives of the government advisory organization. We really are encouraging that kind of work, but there's much more kind of listening and lurking on the part of the GAC members, which I guess is a first step. The question about whether individuals can represent only themselves or groups. Again, I think that's sort of that each of the chartering organizations can figure that out. We usually don't, that usually just never comes up as an issue in ours because they are very informal working to get consensus. I think, you know, Paul will tell you, these have been a very valuable tool for the CCs. And where Paul is.
Any comments or questions for Becky? Wolf?
Yeah, Wolf Rieknoben from the Genocide Council. This is not a bilateral effort. It's a multilateral effort, I understand, between several SOs. Yeah? And because that's important. So I remember the other day on Friday night when we met with Farley. I think you just joined that meeting later, Byron. So that was an issue. There wasn't a point to talk about, you know, because the executives, this high level, Fadi and his VPs, Sally Kostert and others were aware, they are not aware about the problematic and the difficulty to bring that forward, yeah, and to this cross-community work, yeah, because Fadi was just asking if somebody is interested in a certain topic, why doesn't he join this and that working group, yeah? And so it was very easy thinking that way. So what I would like to say is, so if you work forward and we think about, you know, how to organize that, we should also communicate that as early as possible to those levels, yeah, that there's something going on, because they may be of the opinion to some extent not to understand why something is taking so much time, because they are not aware of that.
Yeah. Thanks. And I failed to say that we always use formal written charters for the working groups, so we would continue to do that, I would think.
Okay, thank you. Paul.
And thank you very much for the pre-wine slot. My name's Paul Schindler, and I'm with AUDA, the .au CC manager. And ironically enough, I'm talking about a working group that doesn't actually exist yet, but we hope soon will. Over the last 2 years, I was chair of the Country and Territory Names Study Group, which, as many of you will know, looked at the way in which country and territory names are treated within the ICANN framework in various policies and processes, and to identify whether there are any inconsistencies that have arisen, and if so, we could recommend some further work. And the study group did precisely that, spent 2 years, and then delivered its final report to the CCNSO Council in September. The Council has only just recently considered and endorsed those recommendations and developed relevant recommendations for further work. And it's not worth, in this very short time slot, to go back through all of the work that the study group did, but most importantly, to focus on its recommendations, because they are what is going to give everyone the best sense of where we are proposing this future cross-community working group will go. In essence, the recommendation was, A, to establish such a working group, and that it would continue the study element of the group that's just ceased its work, but would also provide, and this is the big one, advice regarding whether it's feasible to develop a uniform definitional framework for how we all treat country and territory names across SOs and ACs. Now, I pause here because there's no presupposition on anyone's part that there necessarily would be such a framework or that it is feasible. However, if it is, the working group would then have the charter to go ahead and provide some detailed advice as to what this thing might look like. And I also stress that there is no expectation that this would supplant or otherwise interrupt existing policy processes. It's not meant to do that. It's about developing a harmonised common understanding of how we refer to country and territory names in our internal workings and across the community. That's where we're up to now. The next steps are we're developing a straw man for what the working group might look like, and this will serve to develop a charter for the group and will also be the mechanism with which we will go out to stakeholders, including formal invitations to the GNSO, to the GAC and to the ALAC to participate in the working group. At the risk of taking another 30 seconds, I'll also emphasise that there was one more recommendation and that was that the CCNSO Council request that the ICAM board extend the current exclusion regarding country and territory names that exists in the applicant guidebook to subsequent rounds of the new GTLD process, because to fail to put in such an extension runs the risk of preempting the outcomes of the working group. That will be provide comfort for some and concern for others, but as it currently stands, the Council will not provide that advice or make that request to the ICAM board until we've developed the straw man, we're closer to developing the working group, and that formal outreach to all the different parts of the community has been done. In other words, we've got the working group in process in place before we make that request to the ICAM board. And I'll leave it there.
Any comments or questions for Paul? Thank you, Paul.
So we have one other opportunity to just flag up a couple of projects that could do with potentially joint expertise that that are underway or shortly to be underway. And so I think the purpose of this point on the agenda is to just give a very brief introduction to those, so there's an awareness across the groups of these two projects. I don't think we'll be able to get into much discussion given where we are in the time, but it would be very useful to get these flagged and out on the table. So I think there's someone to speak to both of these. Certainly... Maria, you're one. Are you on translation transliteration? You're on the second. Yeah. Who's on translation and transliteration? Great. So if we could do start with Adam and then we'll move on to the second. If we could try and stick to a minute or two, just highlighting the work and the purpose and what's going on.
Okay, the charter drafting team for the transliteration PDP met this morning, and I think we successfully wrapped up what it is we wanted to do, but there is a motion on the agenda for the Council's next meeting. This was a charter that was on the Council agenda two meetings ago. It was deferred once, and then the motion to submit was withdrawn the second time. There were a few concerns or additional questions that some of the councillors who were also on the drafting team preferred to add to the charter. These questions have been added, mainly on addressing the issue or asking the question on weighing the benefit of translation and transliteration versus the cost of doing so. It is also, initially this charter was asking two main questions on whether translation and transliteration of contact information would be desirable or not. And the second question would be on who would decide who would bear the cost of translation and transliteration of contact information. So the working group was also, the PDP, the charter was also added in the charter that the working group would also deliberate on who the working group members think should bear the cost of this, but I assume this is more in the form of providing advice to the GNSO Council or to whoever makes the decision, whoever the working group decides should make the decision, because it is obviously something for someone else to decide, not this working group. That's about where we stand right now, and this should be on the next Council agenda. Thanks.
Thanks very much for that update. So I think really the idea was of both of these next two topics. These are potential topics that could benefit from potentially CCTLD experiences in the area. I don't think we have time to go into and share that, but we'd very much, I guess the idea is to put these on the table and recognize that there may be best practices, existing work, or at least even some thinking or understanding on these. So I suspect it's probably better just to go on to the next piece of work, the next, this is a PDP that's been charted within the GNSO. The next one is another one that we believe would be relevant and wanted to just flag it, so there was an opportunity to potentially contribute via discussion, and may even be able to pick it up over drinks if they. I mean, if you've seen the two, you'll have access to the two presenters. So at least if you've got any ideas, or we can do it on list. So let me hand over then next to Maria on the Proxy and Privacy Services Accreditation PDP.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is Maria Farrell from the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about a PDP, which we are just about to kick off. I'm the interim chair of this working group, which means until it meets and elects its proper chair, I'm responsible for this one. It's basically spinning off a couple of issues from the Registrar Accreditation Agreement that was agreed in July. And this one is something that I think a lot of CCs have experience with, which is proxy and privacy services, and how do you manage them? Should you have one? How do you? What are the best practices for relaying and revealing information? How do you deal with law enforcement in a consistent way? How do you? Should you? And when should you let registrants know that you are that you've received a request for their information because of alleged wrongdoing? But of course, in contrast to the CC world, we're trying to do this in across multiple jurisdictions and where there are indeed plenty of conflicts of law. I should probably find this quite easy, because when Paul Verhoef hired me to work for ICANN as the GNSO policy officer 11 years ago, he said, Maria, there's just one thing I want you to do, and that's to sort out who is for us. Well, sorry people and sorry Paul, but we've not managed to do that yet. But we've come a long way with Who Is, and we also have the Experts Working Group, which is sort of a board-initiated, CEO-initiated group that are actually pulling together some very good factual information. And I think on this one, on the privacy and proxy services, this is something that's happening a lot in the G world. And in a relatively, there are a lot of different practices, but we know that CCs, like for example Nominet, that I happen to be familiar with, have done a lot of thinking and a lot of work on how do you do proxy services and privacy services, particularly for individual registrants. So really, what we would love to hear back from any CCs is what's been your experience, what's worked, what hasn't worked, even getting away from the conflicts of law situation, but simply what sorts of approaches have you found have been useful? Because we know, looking at the CC world over the last 10 or so years, different models have been tried, and we know that you guys have sort of tried and developed different modifications to these sort of systems, where in a way, to some extent, the G world, while we've been doing this for a long time, this is the first time we've done a PDP to try and standardise what would be best practices so that we can establish a bit of consistency across the piece. So I'll certainly be at the drinks after this, and if other CC people have expertise to offer in the future, my colleague John Berard obviously is our liaison, and if you could let him know, I would be just so delighted to talk to anyone by email, even to get you to talk to our working group once it starts over the next few weeks, just to share your experiences of what works, and I guess particularly what doesn't work. We could do with some of that. So thanks a lot.
Well, thanks very much to both of those previous presenters for a succinct and whistle-stop tour of the prospects of the work. I think it's a genuine attempt to put some work out there that we're doing, but believe may within the GNSO, but believe may well benefit from CCNSO expertise and experience. And so we now have the next part, which is our opportunity to get to know each other a little better and perhaps talk informally rather than in this slightly stilted format of the horseshoe table. So it's my sense is that this is a good step in the right direction for a new format. Very much appreciate the work that Bart and Marika did in the background to pull it together and assist with us in getting it together. So I think that's it from me. I'm sure, Byron, you may want to just have a couple of comments.
Sure, thank you very much. And I, too, would like to echo the thanks to Marika and Bart, who helped us in trying something new. I think my sense is it certainly has potential. Your co-chairs here will have to manage the time a little bit better next time, so we can make sure to get all the discussion in. But I think that this shows good potential for more dialogue, in particular as we get into some of these issues that cross-community working groups may be able to foster. So thank you very much, and I look forward to sharing a glass of wine with everybody.